I wanted to draw your attention tonight and speak to you from verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. The message is simply entitled, Joseph's Dream. For in verse 20, we're told, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Prior to the completion of Scripture, God often used dreams, inspired dreams, to speak to men and his prophets as well, and communicate his truth to them. This dream in verse 20, Joseph's dream, is the first dream in the New Testament. And it's recorded in the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. So in the first book of the New Testament, you have a man named Joseph who was given an inspired dream to communicate to him truth in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an interesting contrast, and I don't really have the time tonight to develop it, but I mention it and leave it with you, just by way of introduction. But in the first book of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, you also read of a man named Joseph, whom God gave inspired dreams to. So in the first book of the Old Testament, you have a man named Joseph, and God gave inspired dreams to. In the first book in the New Testament, you have a man named Joseph, whom God gave at least one inspired dream to. They both dreamt about the work of Christ. Joseph dreamt about the reign and the rule of Christ. He dreamed that his sheep stood up among all the other sheaves of corn, and the 11 other sheaves of corn bowed down to his sheep. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. He was sold into the hands of the Gentiles. While there, he became the Savior of the nations. And when his brothers came to buy corn, they bowed down to him as the Lord, ruler over all. And so it will be with Jesus Christ, not at his first coming, but at his second coming. For then shall the 12 tribes of Israel receive him and bow down to him. They rejected him at his first coming, but they will bow to him at his second coming. Joseph, in the Old Testament, in his inspired dream, he dreamed about the reign and the rule and the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. He dreamed not about the reign of Christ, but he dreamt about the redemption of Christ. For the dream really climaxes in that message in verse 21, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And while the dream of Joseph in the Old Testament will not be fulfilled to the second coming, which is yet to be, the dream of Joseph in the New Testament, the first book of Revelation, for his people. And it is still being fulfilled in the personal experience of individuals when they receive him by faith as their Savior. So Joseph's dream, it stands in contrast to the dream of his namesake in the Old Testament. But tonight, I want to just summarize Joseph's dream in three ways. First of all, in this dream, there was an explanation. The substance of the dream was the angel of the Lord appearing unto Joseph and speaking to him. And the first thing the angel did was to give an explanation of Mary's condition. She was with child. She was expectant. She was pregnant with child. And the angel explains why Joseph was to take her to be his wife and to go through with the marriage. You'll see it in verse 20 in the second part. It says, the angel declares, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You see, Joseph had a dilemma. He loved Mary. He planned to marry Mary. During the espousal period, it was customary that the bride-to-be and the groom would not see each other. It was the tradition then. And as they were betrothed, there was this contract whereby the dowry would have been paid and then a time would elapse and then the bride and the groom would come together. It was much more serious than what we know as engagement. But during that period of betrothal, when Mary was espoused to Joseph, Joseph came to learn that she was with child and not by him. And therefore he had this great dilemma. Should he marry Mary? And perhaps simply bear the shame that he felt? Or should he put her away and live with the consequences of losing the one that he had loved and planned to marry? Joseph was not a rash man. He didn't make the decision lightly, without thought, without consideration. And it was as he considered these things that the Lord spoke to him in a dream. And he mentioned these words. And you'll notice that the Christian life, the life of one who is going to follow the Lord, it's not always easy. But if the individual waits upon the Lord will give them the answer. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And if you're a Christian in the meeting tonight, and you have some dilemma in the home or in the workplace or in some other matter, then don't make a rash decision. Wait on the Lord, and he will give you the answer. And as Joseph waited, the Lord, he gave him a message of comfort. Fear not. When you're walking with the Lord, when you're trusting in the Lord, there's a fear not. You don't need to fear. No matter what's going on in your life, and Joseph had a major problem, a major dilemma. A decision was going to have to be taken, and he wasn't sure what way to go. The Lord came and he said, "Fear not." And then he went on to give that explanation. There's a command, there's a word of comfort, but there's a command. Take unto thee Mary, to thy wife. You see, the Christian life, the Lord not only comforts us and he consoles us and he helps us in our troubles, but he commands us, and when he tells us to do something, we are to do it. The Christian life, we are not saved, we are not made right with God by keeping commandments, but when we are saved and we are trusting the Lord, then we are to live in obedience to the commands of the Lord. And the Lord explains why he should go through with the marriage. Here's the miracle. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I have said before, it seems clear to me. And if I'm reading too much into it, well, I'll apologize for it, but I believe it with my own heart. I believe when Mary told Joseph that the angel had visited her and told her she was with child, and she asked, "How can these things be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel told her she was with child of the Holy Ghost. I believe she communicated that to Joseph. And it seems to be that Joseph simply didn't believe her until God sent the angel himself. And he reminded and he taught Joseph, that child in the womb of Mary has been conceived supernaturally by the power of the Holy Ghost. The eternal God is to become man. And the Holy Ghost, Hebrews says, prepared a body for him, a human nature, a little fetus that would develop and become a person and was a person in the womb of Mary. And at the time of conception, the eternal Son of God who created all things, who was before all things, is in all things, and sustains all things. The eternal Spirit entered into that little infant conceived in the womb of Mary, developed in her womb, was born of her. What a miracle of miracles, what a wonder of wonders. My friends, while it seemed impossible to Joseph, and while men, even when Jesus was a man, they mocked him and said, "We be not born of fornication." They still accused him and derided him and mocked him that he was born of fornication. Though men may slight the virgin birth and mock it, and some would disbelieve it, what seems impossible with man is possible with God. For with God all things are possible. And we say again tonight, Jesus Christ was virgin born, conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. And the angel gave that word of explanation to Joseph. And with the word of the Lord, he believed. My friend, you have heard the word of the Lord. Do you believe the message? The message of the Christ child born of Mary, born to be the Savior. Have you believed it to the salvation of your soul? And if not, will you believe it tonight? That's the explanation. Let me come quickly to the second thought in this dream. There was not only a word of explanation, there was a word of revelation. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. She's not going to have a daughter, she's going to have a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. There's another command that reminds the Christian. I say again, we're not saved. We're not made right with God. We're not justified or forgiven by keeping commands. We're saved and justified by faith in Jesus Christ. But when we are saved and the Lord commands us, we're to follow his commands. Joseph, you're to call the child's name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And verse 25 tells us he was obedient. He called his name Jesus. Mary's child was Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. I want to take a moment or two. I just want to explain the meaning of the name Jesus. It's the New Testament equivalent of Joshua. In fact, I'm not going to turn up the verses for the sake of time tonight. But if you look them up in Acts 7, verse 45, and in Hebrews 4, verse 8, Joshua in the Old Testament is mentioned. The historical reference is clear. Stephen in Acts 7, 45 is speaking about Joshua, Moses' successor. Paul in Hebrews 4 and 8 is speaking about Joshua who brought them into the promised land. But the name that is in those verses is Jesus. Because Jesus is the New Testament equivalent of Joshua. And if you have a margin, a center margin in your Bible, you'll see there'll be a little number. And where Jesus is mentioned in those verses, the margin will say Joshua. And I'm saying that to you to show you that the Old Testament name, it was Joshua. And Jesus is the New Testament equivalent. Now, I would ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. I want you to show you something remarkable about the name Joshua and the name Jesus. Numbers chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 8. And then I'm going to run you down to verse 16. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8. of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. That's Joshua. Joshua was the son of Nun who succeeded Moses. But you'll notice in that verse, his name is Oshea. That name means Savior. But look down Numbers 13 at verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. His name was changed. Changed from Oshea, means Savior, to Jehoshua. J-E-H was put in front of it. Do you know what it stands for? It's the first three letters of the name Jehovah. Oshea was changed to Joshua. Oshea means Savior. Jehoshua or Joshua means Jehovah is Savior. Now you put that together. His name would be called Jesus. Jehovah is Savior. Because the child that she brought forth was Jehovah manifested in the flesh, who would be the Savior of the world. And where did he manifest his salvation? Where did he provide salvation? At the cross of Calvary. You can't divorce the cradle and the cross. The cross is in view at the manger. And Jehovah, the second person of the Trinity, was born of Mary that he might die on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. He took our sin in his own body to the tree. He paid the penalty and the punishment for them so that we would not have to come and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jehovah is Savior. That's Jesus. Salvation is not in the Jewish temple. It pointed to Christ. Salvation is not in the law. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Salvation is not in the New Testament church or sacraments. It is in the person of Christ, Jehovah the Savior. And when Simeon in Luke chapter 2, 6 weeks after Jesus was born, Mary brought him to the temple to dedicate him unto the Lord and offer sacrifice for him. And old Simeon took him in his arms and he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He wasn't looking at the altar of incense. He wasn't looking at the temple. He was looking at the baby Jesus. Salvation is in the person and work of Christ. And the child would become the man, and the man would minister to men, and men would put him to death, and this death on the cross would provide for our salvation. Can I ask you tonight, is he your Savior? Is he Jehovah your Savior? There's one final thought, and with this, I'll be very brief, because it was really the substance of my message this morning in the Sunday school carol service. In this dream, there was not only an explanation and a revelation, there was confirmation. Verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." 600 to 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote in his prophecy, the chapter 7 and the verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us." He's Jehovah manifested in the flesh. And just as the prophet said, so it happened. And I make no apologies for finishing tonight. As I finished this morning, the lesson from the birth of Christ is this. This book is true. This Bible is the Word of God. God told Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden the Messiah would be born of the virgin. He would be affirmed what God had told Adam and Eve. That it would be God manifested in the flesh. And it happened just as God told Eve in the garden. Just as Isaiah said in Isaiah 14. It came to pass just as the book says. My friends, as I close tonight, could I stress to you everything this book says will be fulfilled. Each and every one of us will pass from this scene of time one day. There is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. Only those who are trusting in the Redeemer will enter into the eternal kingdom of heaven. And one day the Savior will return to reign upon the earth and sit upon His throne. And all those who are trusting and believing in Him will reign with Him too. It will come to pass. It will be fulfilled just as the prophecies of His first coming were fulfilled literally. So the promises of His second coming will be fulfilled literally too. And that's the message of the birth of Jesus. May the Lord bless His word. We do wish you a very peaceful and happy Christmas season. And if you're not as yet trusting in Him to take away your sin and be your Savior, do it even tonight. Call upon the Lord.